The sermon title today is Identity Crisis. Last week we spoke about our identity and who we are in Christ Jesus. And this is a continuation on from that, is that in our life there will be times that you will have an identity crisis. And we're going to speak about that today. So I want you to first turn with me. We're going to give you some background. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. The Lord keeps taking us back to Genesis from time to time, but in Genesis chapter 1, it says in verse 27, so we are created by God, and it says in verse 27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. It says we are created in his image. And then in verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle of over the, all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God said, let us make man in our image. And us becomes a huge word when you're reading that in the scripture. It becomes a mighty big word. Who was there at the time of creation? So when we say, it says that let us make man in our image, who was there at the time of creation? Well, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Even the Gospels continue to support that, said that nothing was made unless it was made, and Jesus was there at the time of creation. So we are made in the image of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So you and I, we are not only a physical being, but you and I are also a spiritual being. We are created by God with a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. The plan is to be saved, to experience the born-again experience, to become Christ-like in our walk. So once we become to know Jesus, once we are saved, then he starts to do that work of sanctification in each and every one of our lives, transforming us into the very image of Jesus. Becoming more Christ-like in our thoughts and our actions. Jesus says in the book of John, I pray that they will be one, Father, as you and I are one. That we will have one in our thoughts, our actions, and our decision-making. So we see that he continues that work. The scripture says that the work that the Lord started in each and every one of our lives, he will continue that work until he completes it, and we will be gone from this place, and we will be forever with the Lord. He also gives us a purpose. Is to worship God and also to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are saved today, that's who you are. That's who you are. A child of the King. Remember last week, my identity is not what I do for a living, and it's not any illness that I've ever had in my whole entire life. My identity is who I am in Christ Jesus. Apart from God, those who are not saved, now listen to me, apart from God, those who are not saved are only existing in this life. They do not have an identity. Because our identity, since we are created in the image of God, in the likeness of God, God knew us before we were even born. He knew us yet even before we were even in the womb. He had a plan, he had a purpose, and he had a why for your life. For anybody that's living out there that does not know Jesus, maybe they're living a decent life, they think. They're going to work every day. They've got a family. They're doing the right thing with their family. But they are only existing because they've never come to the knowledge of the truth and know Jesus as the Lord and Savior, because they're not fulfilling God's will in their life, because they were created in his image for his will. And if they're not fulfilling his will, they are only existing. It's not those who have the most money when they die win. It's those who know the King. You win, glory be to God, because of your relationship with Jesus. Do you remember when you only existed in life? I remember when I only existed in life. Oh, you worked, you had a family. I worked, I had a family. But something was missing in my life. That spiritual void that can only be fulfilled through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that the woman at the well, when you drink of this water, you're going to drink again, again, and again. The water I give you will spring up into everlasting life. Only fulfillment in this life comes through Jesus. If it wasn't until you found your true identity in Christ, that there was a vacancy that was filled in your life, but when you accepted Jesus, that vacancy, that void, was satisfied. It was fulfilled. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 14. If you are saved today, this is your identity. So Romans 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. So you can know for a fact of whether you're saved or not. If your spirit is bearing witness with your spirit, then you can indeed know of whether you have Christ as your Lord and Savior or not. It goes on to say, for you did not receive the spirit of a bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Because of your faith in Jesus, you were adopted into the family of God. The Spirit, in verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. This is your identity. Most Christians never come to the knowledge of the truth of what their identity is in Christ Jesus. You're a child of the Most High God. You're a king's kid today. And you're not only an heir, but you are also a joint heir with Christ Jesus. This is tremendously important in your life. For when you go to prayer in your relationship that you have with Jesus, and also when the storms of life come in your life, that you know without a shadow of a doubt what your identity in Jesus is. Many times in our prayer life, we will almost take a third party position. Listen to me, it wasn't part of my sermon, but I want to get to it. So many times in our prayer life, we will take almost a second or third party position in our prayer life. So when we say, well, Father, I want you to do this if you possibly can. Now, this probably isn't your will, but I'm praying that if it is your will, that you will do it. And here's Jesus, and it will be through his name. We never involve ourselves in that prayer. It's like almost we've got a sideline. We can say, well, you know, that's up to God. That's up to God's will. We never take authority in our prayer. You need to know who you are in Christ Jesus. That when you pray for something, you can pray with the authority at not only as a believer, not only as an heir, but a joint heir with Jesus. Because many times we will take that sideline and say, well, if it's God's will, then it will be done. If it's not, well, it's not my fault because it was through the name of Jesus, rather than taking authority over that. I had somebody ask me one time, and they said to me this way. Now listen to this. This may be a startling thing for a lot of you. Do you always have to pray in the name of Jesus? Immediately, everybody says, well, yeah, you have to pray in the name of Jesus because it's in the name of Jesus you have that authority. But do you need to use the words in the name of Jesus? And the answer is no, you really don't, because that position has already been verified in heaven because you are seated in heaven. And because you are seated in heaven, I can go up to somebody and I can say, I say in my name for you to be healed. Because it's already through the name of Jesus, because I have Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It's you taking authority. What did Jesus say? When you say to the mountain, for it to be moved. Sometimes rather than relying on some outside interference to move that mountain, we need to speak to the mountain in our life and say, for that mountain to be moved, because I command it to be moved because of my relationship that I have with Jesus Christ, because I am not only an heir, but I am a co-heir with Jesus. That's your authority. That's different from a lot of people, because we don't want to seem arrogant, we don't want to seem prideful, and we don't want to seem boastful. And no, certainly we are not. But we are praying through our relationship that we have with Jesus. The name of Jesus is not a mechanic, is not a magical name that you use for your prayer. It's through that relationship that you're praying. It's through that faith and that connection that you have with Jesus and that relationship that you are praying. It's not, oh, we're going to throw out the magical word. Well, we're going to use the name of Jesus. That happened in the Bible and they got their butts kicked, didn't they? Because they were using the name of Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. You can't use the name of Jesus in your prayer if you don't know Jesus. That's your authority. And because he is my authority, then I have the authority to lay hands on the sick and command for them to recover, to command for them to be saved, to command that demons be cast out of people's lives, because that's an example that is shown in the Great Commission. This is what believers will do. Through the Great Commission, the authority that has been given to each and every one of us. That's our identity, that we've been spiritually adopted into the family of God. I'm not only an heir, but I am a joint heir with Christ. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to go there very briefly. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians 2 and verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and listen to the words, and raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Spiritually, we are seated in heaven with Christ. In Matthew chapter 28, we won't go there, but it talks about the Great Commission. We walk in the authority of Christ. In Mark chapter 16, it says, I will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And that's the Great Commission that's pointed out to us in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 18. I know your identity in Christ becomes a critical, important thing. Because when the storms of life come, when there is a crisis of belief or a crisis of faith in your life, you may very well have an identity crisis of who you are in Jesus. Let me say that again. Your identity in Christ becomes so important for you to know who you are in Jesus. Because the storms of life that come, and they will come, you've faced them all, you've all been there, all done that. That when the storms of life come, and when there is a crisis of belief, a crisis of faith, you may very well at that point in time face a spiritual identity crisis as well. You get the phone call that you have cancer. You get the phone call that there's a tumor that's been found. A child of yours has decided to live a different lifestyle. The words, there is nothing that we can do to help you, are all words, and you can fill in the blank because there's many, many others that go on and on and on. You fill in the blank. What was that storm of life that when you faced it, you had a crisis of faith, a crisis of belief, but also there was a spiritual identity crisis because all of a sudden you forgot who you were in Jesus. Now, I can tell you in my own life, I've been there. When I had a heart attack and had bypass surgery, I didn't blame God for doing it, but I was sure wondering why God didn't prevent it from happening. I was preaching the gospel. And I just banged my head on the wall because I was having that identity crisis. Well, maybe I'm not as close to God as I thought. Maybe I'm not who I thought I was in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have an identity crisis, and you have to take yourself back to the Word of God and read the words of God that says, you are not only an heir, but you are a joint heir with Jesus. That's who you are. Amen. You can be attacked in the church by other believers. You fill in the blank. But when it strikes, it may lead to a crisis of faith. If it does, there will be an identity crisis of who you are in Christ. It amazes me how many times that we will revert back to our childhood. Well, my mom and dad said I wasn't ever going to amount to anything, and I guess they're right. Have you ever done that to yourself? Of course you have. You've been beat up when you was a kid, or maybe you was kicked around when you was a kid. Maybe your dad told you you'd never amount to anything. And then when a crisis, a storm of life comes and knocks you down, and you have that faith crisis, you have that identity crisis of who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Satan likes to pile on all the things of your past. Well, you remember when you did this? You remember when you did that? And we should be able to speak the words back to him. Yes, that's who I was, but that's not who I am today. I've been saved and I have been redeemed. I am a child of the Most High God. You might as well go on down the road, because I'm not going to buy any of that today. But sometimes we have a tendency not to do that. The identity crisis has struck. I have forgot who I am in Jesus. Now turn with me to Judges. We're going to go all the way back to the Old Testament. And we're going to go back to the book of Judges. So it's after Deuteronomy. It's not one you're familiar with going to all the time. And I'll probably find the wrong one. I did that in CE today, didn't I? So we go to Judges. In Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Judges chapter 6 and verse 11. I'll read verse 11. I won't read everything because there's quite a bit of reading here. But in chapter 6, verse 11, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, and I don't think that was Ophrah Winfrey, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gibeon, now this is the part I want to get to, other than my mispronouncing all these words. While his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. The background is the Midianites had the people of Israel beat down. They were scared to death of them. They forgot who they were. They lost their identity. So when we get to the end of verse 11, it says, his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. He was in hiding. He was hiding this wheat because he didn't want them to come in and take that either. So he had forgot his spiritual identity of who he was because of this crisis that he was facing in his life. So they most certainly were having an identity crisis, but God's view of Gideon never did change. You see, his view of you has not changed. You are his child. It doesn't matter what you're going through in your life. Once you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a child of God. And you're not, repeat again, not only an heir, but a joint heir with Christ. That's the authority in which you're walking and you're living today because of your faith that you have in with Jesus. Just because you go through a storm of life and you go through a rough time in your life doesn't mean that God ever changes his view of you, because he does not. So when we look at verse 12 of the same chapter, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. So that's how God saw him. How did Gideon see himself? He was hiding. I'm going to hide this wheat back here so these evil people won't come in and get it. That's how he was seeing himself. But the angel of the Lord came to him and said, you're a mighty man of valor. You forgot who you are in your relationship with you have with the Heavenly Father. And sometimes we will do the same thing. Listen to me, when a crisis of faith comes, you must keep your spiritual identity intact. Our spiritual identity is who we are in the Lord. It is not dependent upon or affected by physical circumstances. Your identity in the Lord is not affected by or dependent upon physical circumstances or how you feel on that day. Now turn with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, we're not very far from there. Go over to chapter 17. And this is the story about David and Goliath. So 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to go down to verse 26. Verse 26 of 1 Samuel 17, it says, then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now that's somebody speaking with authority. and his authority is the Lord. He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of God? Does he know who we are? Does he know the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father? It goes on to say in verse 36, your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. We see here in David there's no identity crisis, spiritual identity crisis. But now turn with me to Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22. Now, if you don't know it, Psalm 22 is known as a psalm of depression. Same person. David wrote this psalm. Listen to Psalm 22 and listen to verses 1 and 2. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime and you do not hear, and in the night season I am not silent. David didn't walk out on his faith, because we hear that in the words after that. Because he says in verse 3, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted you and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But listen to verse 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of man and despised by the people. So when we see that he is ready to go against Goliath, this uncircumcised Philistine, that he says, who is he to defy the army of God? No problem. He's got it. But when we get over here with what is going on in David's life, for this time and for this moment in life, he lost his spiritual identity, not remembering who he was in God. No, David did not walk out on his faith, but for a short time he was having an identity crisis, and our identity in the Lord, knowing who you are in Christ, is very important. It's very important in your prayer life, as we talked about earlier, but it's very important as you go through this life and you face the storms of life, knowing who you are in the Lord. Your identity in Christ is not based on emotions or circumstances. Tomorrow morning you may get up and you may be the darkest morning you've ever had. I won't ask the people in this room how many of you deal with depression, but I know a lot of us do. And when you deal with depression, you can think some pretty ugly things about yourself. Well, God can't love me. We've already verified from the Word that He does love you and He doesn't change. We serve an unchanging God. His word is truth. We can take it to the bank. But on the unchanging word of God is what our belief and our faith is based on. It is important, facing the storms of life, critically important in your prayer life, that you know who you are in Jesus. Because he wants you to do that in prayer, in faith. This is who I am. This is my relationship with my Heavenly Father. I am an heir and I am a joint heir with Christ. I command this sickness to be gone. I command this mountain to be moved. Amen. And when you face those times in life when you're discouraged and you're downhearted and you're depressed, and we all face them, you need to remember who your identity is. You're not just like somebody out walking in the world. You're a child of the King. Let us pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the specialness of your presence in this place. And we thank you, Father, who we are in the Lord Jesus, that we are children that belong to you. No matter what we face, no matter what we go through, no matter what we experience, you are not moved, and neither are we. Your word says that we are baptized into the body of Christ. We are sealed for the day of redemption. No one can pluck us out of the hand of Jesus. That's where we are. And we thank you for that knowledge today. We pray that, Father, as we go our separate ways, that your hand would be upon each and every one of our lives. And we ask it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.